Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. Oh my God, it's going to be a hell of a ride today. Hello, tokers and tokettes and non-token lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, May 3rd, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And welcome to the show. I'm coming to you live from Hollywood, Florida, and I'm still a little bit worked up here. I'm staying at the historic Hollywood Beach Resorts here in Florida, and over the past hour, I have had an incident with the front desk over the Wi-Fi that I'm talking to you on right now. Basically, the Wi-Fi wasn't working, and so I went down and called the front desk to ask why it wasn't working and to possibly get a reboot, and well, long story short, the guy hung up on me, and so that made me mad, and I went down to the front desk, and I confronted him about that, and he threatened to punch me in my mouth. So I went back and got my phone and my video camera and went down to see if he would confirm that he indeed wanted to punch me in the mouth. And if you check out my Facebook page, Radical Russ on Facebook, you can see the video of him trying to swat the phone out of my hand, throwing something at me, and again threatening me. So I'm a little worked up, and it doesn't help that I've had a couple of pina coladas on the beach today. So my apologies, folks. I'm sorry. I'm a little aggro today. I'm a little worked up, and I'm having trouble getting my focus for the show, and I'm sorry. I really apologize for this, but sometimes real life intrudes, and that's the way it goes. And one thing you can count on being a listener to the Russ Belville Show is I'm going to always be honest with you and always present myself in a forthcoming way. So that's the deal today. I'm a little worked up and a little upset, and I'm trying to get myself calmed down for the show. So let's get into it. Let's talk about marijuana. Let's talk about something a little bit more friendly than what I've been through today. And today on our show, our guest will be Fran Janik. He's a longtime activist in Montpelier, Vermont, who has been sitting in on the House of Representatives there in Vermont as they've been discussing a Senate bill to legalize the adult use of marijuana and to create marijuana markets like we have out west. There have been a couple of responses from the House of Representatives, a couple of bills, one that would have decriminalized the personal possession and cultivation of two cannabis plants, and some other amendments that have been offered all throughout the day. I've been following Fran throughout the day on his posts, and it's really kind of confusing where we're at now with respect to legalization in the state of Vermont. So we're going to talk to Fran at 5:30. He'll give us the latest updates from the House of Representatives in Vermont to let us know what's going on with marijuana legalization down there. Also coming up on the show today, we'll have time for Behind the Headlines, and there's an interesting branding study that has come out to talk about the use of the marijuana leaf as a part of mainstream cannabis branding, and I've got some problems with some of their conclusions, so we'll talk a little bit about that in Behind the Headlines. Also coming up on the show, drug war data mining. We're going to take a look at the statistics from Washington State on the ease of access for young people to cannabis since they've legalized marijuana, and you probably won't be too surprised by the numbers that we find lately from Washington State. And then when we get to the end of the show, we'll have time for the Radical Rant, and I've got a clip from the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference, a question and answer session for growers and retailers looking to get into the legal business in the state of Oregon. We'll follow that up in hour two with Leland Berger, Pioneer Pete, and Anthony Taylor giving you various looks at the marijuana industry in the state of Oregon. All coming up on The Russ Belville Show.
This is The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
Dr. Dabber, hurry. Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belleville Show.
Senator Mark Madsen of Utah. Mark, welcome to the show.
Everybody kind of turns a blind eye. They obviously have to go to some other state.
Representative Lou Fredericks.
We're going
to
get something on the order of nonviolent possession offenses.
State Representative Kathy Tilton.
Where does it go from personal use to commercial use?
It's the Russ Belleville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belleville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the fingerboard extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
Why the hell would anyone?
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, May 3rd, 2016. Oakland, California. Federal prosecutors with the Department of Justice have dropped a 4-year civil asset forfeiture case against Harborside Health Center, America's largest medical marijuana dispensary. Open since 2006 and hailed as the national model by the New York Times and others, Harborside Health Center, along with other dispensaries and commercial landholders across California, faced threat of closure by the federal government's crackdown on the properties of those who were renting to medical cannabis businesses. It has been reported that over 600 dispensaries were shuttered in California as a result of this tactic. In July of 2012, Harborside was served with notices of civil forfeiture by U.S. attorneys to seize the buildings that housed its dispensaries in both Oakland and San Jose. The settlement of the case is subject only to Harborside agreeing not to pursue any further claims against the government and not to pursue any appeals. Montpelier, Vermont. The Vermont House rejected a marijuana legalization proposal on Tuesday, scuttling the hopes of legalization advocates for marijuana drug reform after promising votes in the state Senate earlier this year. If passed, Vermont would have been the first state to legalize marijuana through the legislature rather than by referendum. It would also have brought legalization closer to New England, the region considered the next frontier for major marijuana policy reform. Instead, the Vermont House voted 121 to 28 to reject a marijuana legalization bill, which was passed by the state Senate at the urging of Governor Pete Shumlin in February. The bill would have legalized, regulated, and taxed marijuana for those 21 and older, but it was more restrained than legalization ballot initiatives in many ways. It wouldn't have legalized edibles, wouldn't have allowed for home cultivation, and legal sales wouldn't go into effect until 2018. Augusta, Maine. A proposal to use marijuana to battle opioid addiction is being processed by the Department of Health and Human Services. Tuesday marks the deadline for public comments on the proposal to add opioid addiction to the list of conditions that qualify for medical marijuana in Maine. DHHS spokesman John Martin says the agency has until July 10th for a decision. Advocates point to a study in the Journal of Pain this year that found chronic pain sufferers reduced opioid use when taking medical cannabis. But the research falls short of concluding marijuana helps wean people off heroin and prescription opioids. Maine legalized marijuana for medical use in 1999. A separate proposal on the November ballot would legalize marijuana for recreational use in the state of Maine.
Berlin, Germany, Hermann Grohe, the health minister of Germany, announced that he will be presenting draft legislation to the German parliament for legalization of medical marijuana, saying, quote, "Our goal is that seriously ill patients are treated in the best possible way," end quote. He also said cannabis would only be available from licensed pharmacies with a prescription. Currently, possession of personal amounts of cannabis in Germany is a crime punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Denver, Colorado. Colorado schools would be required to allow medical marijuana use under a bill awaiting the governor's pen. Governor John Hickenlooper says he supports the school requirement. Senators voted 35-0 Tuesday in favor of the bill. It makes Colorado the second state to require schools to accommodate student pot use. The bill says schools must permit non-smokable marijuana medicines at school as long as the school districts agree and the drug is administered by a parent or adult caregiver. The bill has already passed the House. Ashland, Kentucky. Henry Clay was a Speaker of the House and Secretary of State who represented Kentucky in the House of Representatives and the Senate. He ran for and lost the election for president in 1824, 1832, and 1844. And for the first time in 130 years, today hemp seeds were planted at the estate of Henry Clay. Eric Brooks, the curator of the Henry Clay Museum, said, quote, "There can be no doubt that hemp played a central role in Henry Clay's life and that he was key to the Kentucky industry in the antebellum period," end quote. On June 11th, the foundation will host Henry Clay's Hemp Symposium, featuring historical speakers and an educational session about hemp plants. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, May 3rd, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. You're not high. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
What the hell are we paying you for?
Are you stupid?
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, I want to take a look at the branding that exists in the marijuana industry, and I'm brought to this by a story in TechInsider.io, which refers to a contest that was held by a magazine called Surface. Surface Magazine, in April, challenged 12 leading design firms to create packaging for the future Starbucks of weed, a fictional marijuana brand. And the point of this article is that these design companies came up with these different branding for marijuana that didn't use the cannabis leaf. According to the report here, 44% of the logos that are registered as trademarks for weed-related businesses use the marijuana leaf in their imagery, according to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. And this, the example they show are some leafs from Marley Natural, for example, or leafs by Snoop, and so on, that encourage or have some
representation of the cannabis leaf in them. According to this report in Tech Insider, they say, as a result, the marijuana industry is unable to shed the kitsch vibe that prevents it from being taken seriously. As the industry transitions from a black market to a $5.4 billion business, it must unburden some of the cliches, reggae music, Rastafarian colors, and Cheech and Chong, just to name a few. And this is something that's bothered me for a long time as we've been seeing the legalization of our industry. And that is this idea that the people and the culture and the vibe associated with marijuana in the past, for some reason, needs to be shed. We need to get rid of this vibe for some reason. For some reason, Rastas and hippies and Willie Nelson and Cheech and Chong are bad things that we need to get rid of. And I couldn't disagree more. As far as I'm concerned, the marijuana legalization that is happening now is only happening because of the marijuana leaf and the Rastafarians and reggae and Cheech and Chong, which throughout the dark ages of Prohibition were the only cultural affectations to represent our cause, to stand up for our liberation. And to me, turning our backs on those brands and turning our backs on those images is just a tragedy. It's something that we should not be letting the mainstream marketers convince us is necessary. They want to try to pigeonhole marijuana and marijuana consumers into some sort of post-60s hippy-dippy vibe, and then they want to denigrate that to try to show themselves as some new sort of evolution of marijuana. They seem to think that there's this stigma that is involved with all of that imagery and all of that framing that is detrimental to the marijuana market. And while I'm a student of framing, and while I believe strongly in the proper framing of our movement, I don't believe that that requires us throwing out all of the culture that has built this movement. And a culture that goes back far before Cheech and Chong, goes back to Louis Armstrong, goes back to Gene Krupa, goes back to Cab Calloway and Ella Fitzgerald. And if it is wrong to denigrate those people and those cultures at that time, it's just as wrong to denigrate our culture and our people at this time. It's time for the marketers and for the mainstream business people to recognize there's nothing sinful, there's nothing evil, there's nothing disgusting about the pot leaf or the Rasta colors or Cheech and Chong. That these things are a testament to how strong this belief in the cannabis plant is. That this culture, despite being made illegal, despite being made public enemy number one, could still thrive, could still compete, could still survive in this prohibitionary element. So no, let's not reject those old school vibes. Let's resuscitate those old school vibes. Let's reflect on how the hippies were right, how they were right about sustainable ecology, how they were right about the healing aspect of this plant. We don't need to reject all of these things because those things were right. They may need to be repackaged a little. We may need to repackage it a little so that people understand that you can sustain these values, you can believe these things without having long hair, without having a bunch of piercings, without being a totally counterculture person. But that doesn't mean we need to completely reject these artifacts of our culture, that we need to reject these standards that we've set for ourselves and these beliefs that we've come up with, because time has proven these beliefs to be right, to be proper, to be functional in this society. I'm not going to sit here and let them denigrate the pot leaf, something that is a symbol of nature. It always killed me to see them blur out the pot leaf on music videos as if nature itself was somehow obscene. Like nature itself somehow needed to be blurred out so that the kids didn't understand that what we were talking about as a drug was actually natural.
Nobody does that.
Yeah, but Daddy says I'm the best at it.
Oh, yeah. So, happy 420 to all our friends out in the Mountain Time Zone. It's 6:20 here in the Eastern Time Zone, and we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take it into some drug war data mining, how marijuana legalization did not increase teen use in Washington State, when we return.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Educator, author, and advocate Dr. Mitch Earlywine is here to tackle the burning issues.
And I'm here to clear up the myths about cannabis and burn them away with science.
CannabisRadio.com presents a no-holds-barred platform that seeks to redefine and revolutionize the entire scope of the cannabis culture while opening the door for more to join the cannabis crusade.
Dr. Kevin Hill.
You can't ignore the fact that, like alcohol, most people who use don't have a problem. So I think that you need to think about policy in that way while educating people properly about marijuana. I think that's the way to go.
Burning Issues, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I also believe we need a fence. The problem is if El Chapo builds a tunnel under the fence, we have to be able to deal with that too.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we take a look at a post on Reason.com posted by our friend Jacob Sullum, who notes that marijuana legalization did not initially boost underage access in Washington. The percentage of students who say pot is easy to get has shown little change in recent years. Now, we do have to add the caveat here that the data that we're getting, the survey data from Washington State, is only from 2014. And recreational sales only began in the middle of 2014. So we only really have 6 months of data in 2014. Can't really make a lot of conclusions yet. But preliminary data are showing us that the legalization hasn't really changed much in Washington State. According to the Washington State Healthy Youth Survey, and they cover this every even year. So it's like 2014, 2012, 2010, and so on. 66% of high school seniors said it would be sort of easy or very easy for them to obtain marijuana in 2014. Now, in 2012, 66% of the seniors said it would be sort of easy or very easy. So it hasn't changed. From 2012 to 2014, no difference. Two-thirds of high school seniors in Washington say it's pretty easy to get a hold of weed. Now, when we look at the 10th graders, the figure rose slightly. It did go from 51% to 53%. Statistically speaking, that's not really significant, but we will admit that it did go up a tiny bit
on the 10th graders. For the 8th graders, though, it fell from 26% to 21%, a 5-point drop. So we can't get too excited about the 2-point rise amongst 10th graders when we got a 5-point drop amongst 8th graders. And even amongst 6th graders, the access stayed at 7% from 2012 to 2014. So no major differences. We didn't see the sky fall in Washington State when it came to how easy it would be to get marijuana. And if we look back farther to 2010, it's actually slightly harder to get marijuana in Washington State for these kids than it was before. In 2010, for the 12th graders, it was 67% that said it was easy or sort of easy to get marijuana. And again, it's 66% now in 2014. Among the 10th graders, it was 54%. Today, it's 53%. Among the 8th graders, it was 23%. Today, it's 21%. And among the 6th graders, it was 9%. Today, it's down to 7%. So what we're seeing here, at least in the Washington numbers, is nothing. We're not really seeing any increase amongst these kids at all. And there's a journal article coming up. It's in the Journal of Adolescent Health, and it was previewed at a conference in Baltimore on Sunday. Notes that the share of 10th graders reporting easy access was essentially the same. According to one of the study's authors, the New York pediatrician Andrew Addisman from the American Academy of Pediatrics said, quote, "It is both surprising and reassuring that teens didn't perceive that marijuana was easier to access after it was legalized for recreational use by adults." This was part of their press release that was titled "Legalization of Marijuana in Washington State Shown to Have No Effect on Teens' Access to Drugs." And this is important because so many of the fears of the prohibitionists have always been built on the "what about the children" argument. The idea that if we legalized, oh my God, children would have access to marijuana. But these data are showing us that throughout the grades, 6th, 8th, 10th, and 12th, there has been no significant statistical change in their access to marijuana. We've also seen in both Colorado and Washington no significant statistical change in the use rates by those grades. Now, the prohibitionists will try to scare you. They'll try to say, well, there's been more marijuana-related school expulsions, or there have been more marijuana-related emergency room visits, or there have been more marijuana-related admissions to rehabs. And for that, you have to understand a very simple precept in statistics. And that is, just because you went fishing on Tuesday and caught yourself 2 fish, and then you went fishing on Wednesday and caught yourself 14 fish, it doesn't mean there's more fish in the river. You may have changed what you were fishing with. On Tuesday, you might have had a pole. On Wednesday, you might have had a net. And the same phenomenon is going on here with respect to the statistics, with respect to admissions and ER and all of that, and poison control in Colorado and Washington. Now we have teachers that are specifically looking for this. Now we have people that are willing to turn themselves into emergency rooms because they know they won't get busted when they turn themselves in. It's almost impossible to make any sort of apples-to-apples comparisons of the statistics that existed during Prohibition versus the statistics that come after Prohibition, because the main confounder in all of those Prohibition statistics is the fact that it's illegal, and that admitting anything about it, turning yourself in for any reason about it, is cause for you to be punished, to lose your assets, to lose your job, to be incarcerated. So of course we have fewer people turning themselves into poison control when they overdose on marijuana, because they know they could get busted for it. And now they're less reluctant to want to seek medical assistance. These things are quite clear to anyone that thinks through these things. Unfortunately, prohibitionists don't think much. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got activist Fran Janik from the state of Vermont He'll have a great update for us on what's happened with marijuana reform when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
It's time for Cannabis Facts About Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may, in fact, be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We need to build a wall.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the New Era.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everyone. 33 and a half after the hour, and we are reaching out to Fran Janik. He's a longtime listener to the show, and he's been sitting in at the Vermont legislature, checking out what they've been doing as far as the marijuana legalization and reform bills that have been posted there. The line hasn't connected yet. We're still dialing out to Fran, so we'll see if we can get him. But to kind of wind this up for you to understand what's been going on, the state of Vermont has been threatening to be the first state to pass marijuana legalization through its legislature. And this, of course, would be a huge boon to the legalization movement, as more than half of the United States don't have any sort of initiative petition power. And so those states are going to have to pass marijuana legalization through their legislatures. And if the Vermont legislature could get together and come up with a legalization plan, that might open up the gates for other states in these non-initiative states to be able to pass their own sort of marijuana legalization. Unfortunately, it seems that in the state of Vermont, we've come up against a severe divide between the two sides, between the Senate and the House. And originally what was proposed by the House was a bill that would legalize the possession of marijuana and would create a series of state-licensed grows with retail pot shops. However, it would not allow for personal home grows. That's kind of problematic to me. I would prefer the legalization to have personal home grows, but that's what came out of the Senate bill. Then on the House side, the Vermont House had decided on some bills that would legalize personal home cultivation, actually decriminalize it. So there would still be penalties if you were caught, but you could still grow two plants. And again, two plants is a far sight from what we'd like to see. But the House had passed some bills in a couple of committees about home decrim cultivation. Unfortunately, those bills have been voted down, and what it seems like has happened, and if I'm reading the updates correctly, that the Senate version got voted down. So there will be no marijuana market, no marijuana legalization as we'd like to see it in the state of Vermont. It's important to remember that the state of Vermont does have marijuana decrim, so it does have possession of, I think it's less than an ounce, is still just a civil offense with a ticket. And the House had proposed an amendment, I understand, that would have decriminalized the two-plant home grow. That is, they rejected the market. They rejected the idea of state-licensed growers and state-licensed pot shops, but instead were embracing the idea of two-plant home decriminalization so that you could grow a couple plants, you could possess some weed, it would all still be illegal, but you would only get fines for it. And from the latest I've heard in the state of Vermont, even that proposal doesn't seem to have gone very far. And I was hoping to get Fran on the line for us to discuss this, and I've been dialing him here for the past 5 minutes. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like his line is going to connect. So we're going to have to take a break and try to figure out what we're going to do here for this Vermont update. We'll try and get Fran on the line with us, but stay tuned. We're doing it live here from Hollywood, Florida. I'm Radical Russ with CannabisRadio.com. Stick around.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Next to THC and CBD, you can now add CBR to your cannabis vernacular. CBR as in CannabisRadio.com.
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping gondrepreneurs grow.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
I hope everybody's got their vape pen handy, or their pipe, or their bong, or whatever you use to do your medicine.
But you don't. Important. It's not a requirement. You don't have to be high for this show.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
I don't know who you're talking to. You have to be high to do anything. At least I do. I don't know about you. In fact, I've been high so long that being straight is another high.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
All right, everybody,
you're
welcome.
Not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
And if standing for the Constitution make you a wackabird, then I am a very, very proud wackabird.
Okay, maybe you're high, too.
Welcome back, everybody. Radical Russ here in Hollywood, Florida, where we're connected now. I believe we've got, we've got Fran Janik on the line. No, he just dropped off the line while I was trying to switch the mic. Ah, damn it, Fran, call back, please. Just, I couldn't get to the connection quick enough, and he heard nothing but silence. So we'll see if we can get him to call back. We are doing it live here, and
Yes, Fran, I'm trying to tweet back to you that yes, it's silence when you first call in. Yes, call back. And we'll see what we can do here. All right, let's see. Do we have you on the line? Fran, are you there and available for us?
Hi, Russ. How you doing? Yeah, we're here in Vermont. I guess we finally got through there. A little bit of trouble there.
Yeah, sorry about the connection difficulties. The internet has not been very friendly here at this hotel, but glad to have you on the line. And I was hoping you could tell our listeners, you know, what's been brewing down there in Vermont, because it's gone back and forth. We thought we'd get legalization. Now it looks like we won't. What's the latest?
We didn't.
We did not.
No, we did not get a bill for even decrim on two plants. They're leaving the laws exactly as they are as far as legalization goes. There were some adjustments made in the transportation committees, where they've actually made very bad penalties for people that are using any cannabis. 1.5 nanograms per milliliter is a DWI.
Wow.
So, and you combine that with alcohol, and your alcohol BAC goes from 0.08 to 0.05.
Wow.
Okay, so we've gone backwards into the stoned age.
So we're actually left with worse laws now than when we started this whole debacle?
Well, we have more restrictive laws that they're going to try and enforce on the road, which I think is going to be interesting because, as we know, the 1.5 nanograms per milliliter is not something that is supported by science at this time.
Yeah, 1.5 nanograms per milliliter is what I'm at after 3 days of abstinence. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, I have that in my fingernails a month later as a registered patient. And, of course, that makes it illegal for me to drive as of July 1, 2016 in the state of Vermont.
My goodness.
So any patient would have that issue if somebody pressed it. And that's going to be a major concern. But the way this whole thing went today in the last 2 days was we had an opportunity to get at least a bill through for home grow, even if it was just decrimmed, so it was fines. This was not optimal, but we thought if we could get anything out of this session, it would lead towards a better situation for cannabis consumers in Vermont. We also wanted to free up the access for people that are using it medicinally but cannot gain legal access through the current broken medical program. S-214 did pass, and I can speak to that separately, but for the moment, to stay on path here, we started 2 days ago with the opportunity to get this home grow. We came very close to it. There were very loud and adamant people in there against any legalization, and we lost by 7 votes. It was 70 votes for, 77 against in the House in the final vote. One bright light in this is that we did not do the Ohio. We managed to kill the original bill, S-241, which the Vermont Senate had tried to reinsert into the criminal bill that had to be dissected in the last 2 days to go through this process. And that was voted down strongly. The House members seeing clearly that this was not the way for Vermont to go in the future when we do go to legalization and to retail. So this will now become an issue in the fall elections.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the other bill that got through. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, that's S-14. That was a medical bill. That will improve incrementally the lot of Vermont's medical patients, reducing the amount of time necessary for you to have a relationship with a doctor down to 90 days, with exceptions for patients who are already in the system, and for a doctor, for instance, can review medical records from another doctor from out of state, and that patient can get a card right away once the doctor signs to confirm the diagnosis, because it's not a recommendation. It's not a prescription here in Vermont. There's also they've added one acceptable condition in glaucoma. And as my ophthalmologist told me about a week ago, my glaucoma is going nowhere. It is indeed stable. So we've managed to get that through to them and get that one condition. But again, we have such a limited program that this still leaves many medical users unable to afford medicine and unable to get it in the legal system.
What a shame. And for a lot of people listening out there, they may not have recognized or realized that Vermont didn't have glaucoma in its original medical marijuana bill. It's one of the few states that doesn't recommend glaucoma. In fact, the federal government still gives weed to LV Musica every month for glaucoma. So this is good news.
It is excellent news for anyone with just glaucoma. I happen to have other issues, chronic pain, that have allowed me to qualify for a number of years. But as I pointed out multiple times in many situations with legislators and others, if I did not have that, my glaucoma certainly would have worsened over the last couple of years.
So,
and I'm a photographer. Nobody knows that. I'm a photographer, so there you go. I got to be able to see to work even.
Yeah, good point.
It helps a little.
Now, yeah. What is the prognosis after this? I mean, there's going to be another session. There's going to be more push for this. I mean, what's the state of reform in Vermont after these bills?
We will get no action until 2017 when the legislature reconvenes. The laws will stay the same. You will be decrimmed for up to 1 ounce in your possession. Your cannabis will be taken, and you will be fined. Of course, that brought in about $140,000 to the state of Vermont's coffers last year. And, of course, the all-important dispensary income to the state is around between the patients buying cannabis, the licensing for the dispensaries, and other ancillary items brings into the state somewhere between $400,000 and $500,000 a year. So the state has successfully protected those two income streams.
My goodness. All right. Well, Fran Janik, I want to thank you for all the work you've been doing there at the Vermont Legislature. And if you've got any contacts or plugs you'd like to give out for people to get involved with this in Vermont, please give them now.
Well, we'd all like you to tell your legislators what you thought and vote in November. And Vermont Homegrown is our group still. We have a Facebook page and we have a community's website that's accessible from there. You can listen to all the radio events that we've attended and we've spoken, just like here on Russ's show. So we appreciate you talking to your legislatures if you live in Vermont, and we appreciate your support at Vermont Homegrown.
Thank you, Fran. Thank you for being a supporter of the show and for reporting into us on what's going on there in the Green Mountain State. We really appreciate it.
Russ, thanks for all you do and for having us on board. Have a good evening.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
To the questioner, I would like to point out that in this transition phase from OLC, from medical OHA into OLCC, there is the issue that the patients own the plants, and so there is a pathway through this process and this transition so that the patients either get those plants back or get appropriately compensated for those, because you have to do that because they own it and you're fixing to go into a situation where they don't own it anymore. So keep that in mind as you begin to make those transitions.
And that's probably something that should be written into the personal agreements
And I meant to mention this. There should be a written personal agreement now with every single patient you have, and it has to comply with the regs on that. And the important thing is to make sure that the magic language in there is that the patient is assigning the rights, title, and interest to the excess product medicine to the grower.
Robert, what about seeds? So I understand the clarification on moving things across in terms of plants. What about seeds and other genetic materials?
Well, are you talking about the startup, I assume? What the rules are that once you're issued the license, there's going to be a 90-day window that you can get your starts from any source. So you have a source for seeds, you can get the seeds and bring them in and begin propagating them.
That's supposed to expire at the end of the year, he said.
That is something that we're going to have to take up. If the license isn't issued by that time, then we need to see how the OLCC will deal with that. I think when the rule was written, they anticipated all the producers would have been filed by now. So
if you have the seeds, though, you can transfer the inventory.
Yes,
right?
That's my understanding. Yeah.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Robert. One question over here.
Hardy Lee, Convergent Pacific. I'm an engineer, so since you mentioned the land use, say the county allow you to grow currently. How, as a potential grower, would you worry the policy change 5 years later or 10 years later?
Are you meaning the land use change?
Yeah.
The way the land use rules work, they're pretty much in stone. The land use has developed a long time ago. It has suffered very little change. So I think as making an investment in a business over long term, there's a lot of certainty and clarity about land use rules and that they're not going to be changed out from underneath an existing situation. But again, that's going to be subject to the local politicians. And that's why I say get out and vote cannabis.
And the deadline to vote for the May primary is Tuesday or Wednesday.
So say I'm the facility owner right now. A grower approach us. I want to lease your property, a box of food like the senator mentioned earlier. So we're not worried about this this contract is going to be, you know, turned down in 5 years because the legislature or the local rule, you know, govern them not able to continue the lease.
I can't speculate as to what's going to happen in a specific situation, but there's a lot of certainty and clarity presently that, and looking back, there's not been a lot of changes in that area.
So, just a small clarification. You said you could transfer your medical to rec and you had a 90-day window. Was that for vegetative plants or was that for any plant?
It was explained to me 2 hours ago by Will from the OLCC, it could be flowering plants.
You know, it's for a long time we've been required to, at least on the medical side, you know, we're restricted to 6 plants per patient, and we were only allowed 18 seedlings or immature plants, you know, to get started. That rule has changed, and now you can have your 6 plants, but you can have an unlimited number of immature plants, and that distinction is flowering versus non-flowering. So one of my friends commented what kind of reaction that the law enforcement community might have when they fly over somebody that's got 20 acres of starts growing, you know. And that's part of the dynamic or the part of the equation here with this 90-day period where you can get your starts from any place, because it's kind of that magic sort of thing. Where do you get these starts and where do you get the seeds? And that sunsets in a year. And the reason that it's set up that way is so you could get your starts, of course, but once the licensees are granted and there's those certain growers out there that's all they're doing is producing starts, then that's where you go to get your product or other licensees. So that's how you're going to do it.
So OSHA requires aisleways of a minimum of 22 inches in occupiable workspaces. I was wondering if those aisle spaces are able to be subtracted from the overall canopy.
I think if the way the rules are, that it's the canopy that's counted. So in establishing your situation to comply with OSHA, your plan should include that the written plan that's submitted, that your canopy is for the specific canopy areas excluding the aisleways.
Can you elaborate a little bit on this personal agreement? Is that a thing? Is that a form? Is that that's a necessary contract between a patient and a medical grower?
Peter, the rules for the agreement are in the revised rules that came out.
The 77 pages.
The 77 pages, but the agency is not endorsing a particular agreement. And basically they're telling the growers, go seek counsel or some other source to get that agreement.
Would that sort of thing give a patient legal recourse against their grower?
That opens up a whole can of worms. Because if you start putting in a lot of terms and conditions and then remedies, and then it's six pages long. I'm trying to use a format that is as general as possible on one page that is simple for the patient to understand and read, but it should also lay out what they're going to get and when they're going to get it.
Because I've heard horror story after horror story about growers disappearing on their patients after the season and things like that.
That is a real risk. So that's why the need for the agreement.
And when we were discussing the language for this, part of the dialogue that didn't get adopted was dispute resolution with these agreements. So we're going to see that work out, I'm sure, but it wasn't in the language, so we're going to have to deal with it individually and with attorneys.
All right, thank you I'm sorry, we're out of time. We have to start the next panel. Let's hear it again, Robert Graham, Chelsea, Anthony. Thank you very much. I'm sure they will be interested in answering more of your questions and talking to you in the hallway or in the vendors. I think everybody's very excited.
All right, that's information from the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference, and we got more of that coming up in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. You'll hear from Leland Berger on the law regarding marijuana extracts in the state of Oregon. Also, Pioneer Pete, one of the state's leading extractors, has a few words to say. And then we'll follow it up with Anthony Taylor, who is a longtime medical marijuana advocate in the state of Oregon. Plus, you'll get my thoughts on what's going on here in the state of Florida when we kick off Hour 2 at the top of the hour. That's all the time we got for Hour 1. Thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ, live from Hollywood Beach, Florida. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.